Good morning to you all in the church, and good morning to those joining us online. This is Resurrection Sunday. What an amazing day. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. My name is Emmanuel Beki, the minister here. If we have not met before, please do stay around if you're visiting and for a chat after the service. This few verses that have just been read to us recounts for us the story of three women who met an empty tomb. The tomb was empty because Jesus has risen. This text, if you look carefully, also emphasizes the miraculous nature of Jesus' victory over death. And within this text, we also receive a summon, just as those women received, to go tell others about the good news. We will look at this text in three parts. The first part is seeking in sorrow. The second part, the stone rolled away. And the third part is proclaiming the promise. The event of Good Friday was gruesome. Isn't it? The very day that Jesus was nailed to the cross must have been a very sad day. But Saturday, Sabbath, which was the following day, was probably worse for his followers, for his friends, and for his family. The three women mentioned in verse 1 observed the long, dark Sabbath day with the intention that the following day, they will be at the tomb to anoint Jesus. Just as part of their final act of love and service to Jesus. By anointing, of course, it was not just going to be for the sake of Jesus, but for themselves too, as part of closure, bringing closure to their loss. And of course, the perfume this woman were going to use was for the purpose of really masking the smells of decomposition rather than of any form. It wasn't going to be for preservation. They are heartbroken over his death. They were filled with sorrow, with grief, and fear. Driven by desire and devotion to Jesus, as they walked, they talked about the stone at the door of the tomb. Some commentators said that stone weighed about 1,000 kilograms. So, three women and a stone. No wonder they were having that conversation, that who will roll away from the entrance of that tomb, that stone, verse 3. They were not aware that the tomb had actually been reinforced, had been sealed on order. And of course, there were also Roman guards that were detailed to secure the area. So the obstacles were formidable to them, to this woman. They were going there looking for a cold corpse. The problem was that they were still thinking in Saturday. These ladies, along with the Lord's followers, had placed their faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. All they could see at that moment was the shattered remains of their hopes and dreams. Jesus, mark you, had been regarded as the Messiah, as the one who was going to fulfill all the prophecies in the Old Testament. He was regarded as the King of Israel, the one who will establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. Their hopes for life and for eternity were all in him. So when that stone was rolled across the door of the tomb on Good Friday, for them it was a ringing statement of finality. I don't know about you, about your experience, in life at the moment. Perhaps you are feeling full of joy. Of course, this is a joyous day, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you identify very easily with this woman, with a sense of emptiness and fear and sadness. Perhaps you are disappointed that your prayers have not been answered and you are just about to give up hope. And for others, I believe you do not have to look very far across the world to be aware of emptiness and fear in many lives. Check your neighborhood. Check your workplace. Check, just be on the public transport. It's almost palpable that you can see that people are just on the edge. There's so many. Hopelessness is written on people's faces. Today, on Easter Sunday, may we all dare to confront those places of emptiness, just as those women on the first Easter morning did. And may we too discover the overwhelming love and hope of Jesus' resurrection. For Christ died for you. For Christ resurrected for you. Have you received the gift of eternal life? If you have, are you living the resurrected life? Living the life of an overcomer, overcoming all the temptations that the flesh brings, overcoming the pride of life, overcoming all the kinds of trickeries of the enemy, the devil. You see, the resurrection of Christ secures for us victory over the material world. Seek Jesus, just as those women were seeking him. Seek him, even in seemingly hopeless situations. Situations where things have been written up, where you've been told there is no more we can do for you. Where you've been told that go, prepare, set your house in order. In those seemingly impossible situations, remember the resurrection power through Jesus is available. The woman's journey reflects our journey of faith, reminding us that God works miracles beyond our understanding, turning mourning into dancing. Point number two, the stone rolled away. Nothing prepared them, that is this woman, for what they were about to discover as they walked toward the tomb. They did so with their heads bowed and their eyes downcast because of their sorrow and their grief. On getting to the tomb, they saw that the very large stone had been rolled away, and the door into the tomb was wide open. They did not know that before they arrived that very morning, there had been a great earthquake, and an angel had come down to the tomb and had removed the stone. We see that account in Matthew chapter 28, verse 2 to 4. The appearance of the angel had frightened the Roman guards, and they had fled the scene due to fear. The women feared the worst because they thought the Lord's enemies have taken his body away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, verse 5. They were alarmed because Christ was no longer in the place. The woman's unexpected discovery of the rolled away stone symbolizes how God removes barriers to reveal his glory. God intervenes in the face of human limitations. We are called to trust that God can overcome obstacles in our lives. Allow this understanding to inspire you, inspire faith in God's power to do the impossible and to encourage us to anticipate mighty acts. The third part, proclaiming the promise. Christ was no longer in the place where he was laid, verse 6. The angel begins to speak to the women. He has a message for them. It is a message designed to help them stop thinking in Saturday, in terms of yesterday, but to begin to think about the experience of power in Sunday. The man told them, don't be alarmed, don't be afraid. There is no need to fear. He gives the message of peace, which is also a message of power. He has risen. He is not here. The tomb is empty. The greatest event in history had occurred. And watch this. The angel's message was more than of peace and power, but it was also a message of proof. The empty tomb was proof that Jesus had risen. He then invited them to look at the place where the body had been laid. It was empty. The empty tomb is still preaching today. It's telling us, telling the world that Jesus is alive and that he can save all who come to him by faith. The message of the tomb rolled away the stone from the hearts of those sad, sorrowful, and grief-stricken women. That message brought them out of the gloom of defeat into the glory of life. It can do the same for you and for me. The angel sends them away to carry the message to his disciples. Those men were filled with fear and they were hiding. John 20:19. But God wants them to know that Jesus is alive. There is no need to fear. There is joy. There is hope. Even Peter, the one who had recently denied the Lord, was singled out. The Lord wants Peter to know that he loved him also. Those three women came to the tomb that morning, worried about rolling away a stone from the tomb. They didn't know it, that God was about to use them to roll countless stones away from the hearts of millions. They were the first to spread the good news of that empty tomb. It is instructive for us, brothers and sisters, that it was women who gave witness of the resurrection. In an era in their culture where the testimony from a woman was not generally accepted, believed, or respected. But God turned things around. They came to the tomb with sorrow in their hearts, and they lived it a different way. What they had seen and what they had heard at the empty tomb literally blew their minds. What they encountered was not what they expected as they traveled there, but the experience changed their lives and replaced their sorrow with an overwhelming sense of peace and power. They knew that they were now a part of a great miracle, and they ran to tell others about their risen Lord. Mark tells us that they did not talk about what they had seen and heard with anyone along the way. We know from the other gospel narratives that they did run to find the disciples and told them this good news. Matthew 28 verse 8 and John chapter 20 verse 1. The news affected the disciples too. Many of them ran to the tomb. We were told that John looked in and saw the evidence, the proof, and that he believed. John 28. Later that day, Jesus will appear to more disciples The disciples, you see, had experienced the futility of their human resolve and effort, which crumbled at the hour Jesus needed them most. They all failed him woefully, badly. But because his resurrection signals the birth of a new life and reconciliation, the risen Christ restores hope to his disciples and takes away their fear and guilt. Where do we see ourselves in this narrative? All of us, or almost all of us, experience a range of emotions such as guilt, fear, hopelessness, discouragement, failure, and shame, particularly when we let the Lord down or when we fail to do what we are asked to do. At some point, yes, we have failed to make him first and have ended up feeling empty and unfulfilled. His disciples let him down so badly, but he paid a ransom for them as well as for us. The resurrection signals a new beginning. The power of his resurrection reconciles us to God, for Christ draws us to the Father. If you are here today, this Easter morning, you are in good company. May I encourage you to embrace the good news of the risen Christ. If you have not yet experienced forgiveness, please do not delay. It's so close that you can receive it. And for those of you who are still searching, may I just remind you that on the shelf outside, just by the hallway, we have some booklets there. They are all free. You can take them and read. There are two particularly there which addresses this time of Easter. So please do, if you're still searching, take one or two of those booklets with you. You see, through Christ, we are guaranteed eternal life. Through Christ, we become God's children, embraced and forgiven. Trust in the risen Christ. Trust in the risen Christ, who forgives. And not only that, he gives us the Holy Spirit, who transforms us on the inside. Sisters and brothers, the life that Christ gives will continue beyond our graves into the life to come, because in Christ we are engrafted into God. Death is defeated once and for all. We celebrate today an empty tomb, and we proclaim that love, hope, faith, and life will never be quenched by fear and death. For Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 25, that I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. As we conclude, may I remind us of the angel's proclamation of Jesus' resurrection. And may I say that what happened at the tomb with those women transformed fear into mission. That moment was pivotal, shifting the disciples' understanding from despair to hope, urging believers today to embrace the call to share the resurrection message boldly. This passage also reinforces the fact that the resurrection is a central theme of our faith journey. And our mandate to proclaim this life-altering, life-changing truth to the world. Please share the good news with your family. Please share it with your neighbors. Please share it with your colleagues at work. For it is the message of power and hope.